Tem aqui me cabelo me coloca mais.
Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Love and mercies. Thank you for everything. Lives. Thank you for your strength that weaknesses. Thank you given to us on every side. Thank you for honoring your name in our lives. Thank you for making us overcomers. In the battles of life. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. We thank you, your light that is shining in our hearts. Everything that is contrary to your truth, thank you for your light, your ways to us, your nature to us, and your mind to us. Thank you. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. For everything you have done to help us grow. Thank you for new revelations you give us, new wisdom, knowledge, new understanding that you always give to us so that we can in the faith. Thank you, Lord. The Bible study classes we have been having here every Tuesday evening. We thank you for the way you expose this through your Holy Spirit. We thank you for how much your word has changed our lives. Thank you, Lord. I ask that as another class session right now, O Lord, minister to every heart that will be listening. I ask that you take away every hindrance, distraction, and barriers that they will want to use to stop God's word into the hearts of your people tonight. Lord, take away those barriers right now. In Jesus' name, take away those distractions and hindrances right now. In Jesus' name, have your way in this place and let your name be glorified forever. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. We're going to continue with our teaching. You know, we've been talking on a new title or a new theme that says the Christian's relationship to society, the Christian's relationship to society. And we have talked on point number one, which says Christians do not belong to this world, and also number two, which says though in this world we are not part of it. Yeah, we stopped at point number two, to see, which is that we should not become entirely separate from the world. We should witness to them. So now we are moving to D, or you can call it 2D, which says marriage with the unbelieving and worldly is discouraged. Marriage with the unbelieving and worldly is discouraged. That is, the word of God discourages Christians getting married to unbelievers and marriage with the unbelieving and worldly is discouraged. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy 7, verse 3 to 4. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son, for they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. the wound. Yeah, can you all hear me very clear now? Yeah. Okay. We were reading from Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 7, verse 3 to 4. I don't know if I don't know I don't know the point where the network went, but the topic we are looking at today, which is point D, point D, under point number two. Yeah, so I call it point 2D. Yeah, so the topic says marriage with the unbelieving and worldly is discouraged. That is, the word of God discourages marriage with the unbelievers. The word of God discourages Christians getting married to unbelievers and worldly people. Yeah, so that is the point we are looking at, or the topic we are looking at today. So I was reading from Deuteronomy 7, verse 3 to 4. So you should open your Bibles to that place. Deuteronomy 7, 3 to 4. I read, neither shalt thou make marriage with them, thy who are the people God was referring to here? If you read from verse 1, Deuteronomy chapter 7, from verse 1, when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor shew mercy unto them. people who are living in the land God gave to the Israelites. So the mission is that they must drive out those people from the land and utterly destroy them. Yeah, but God knows that they might not drive all of them out at once, or some of them might run to other neighboring countries. Yeah, so God already knew what the future would look like. He already knew what would happen ahead of time. So he gave them that law that after you have driven these people away from the land, don't give your sons to them in marriage, and don't give your daughters to them in marriage, or don't marry their daughters for your sons. Yeah. And God said, if they do that, it will make them worship other gods, and that will provoke him to anger, such that he would destroy them suddenly. Yeah, so we can see here that marriage with unbelievers, with worldly people, has the power to turn the hearts of Christians away from the Lord. Yeah, because these unbelieving and worldly people, they are already in partnership with Satan. Anyone that is not serving the Lord, following the Lord, pleasing the Lord, is automatically in partnership with Satan, with darkness, with demons. Yeah. So marrying such people means that you are marrying Satan, marrying demons, marrying the darkness in their lives. I don't know if you're getting the point. So that is why God gave that law that they should not marry such people. Yeah, and some of you know the story of Solomon, who married several women from different countries. Women who were worshipping, women who were idol worshippers in their countries. Solomon gathered many of such women and made them his wives. And we saw the end of Solomon. Those women turned his heart away from the Lord. Yeah, so we have to be very careful when it comes to marriage. Now, I know some of you here are already married. This law is saying don't give your children into marriage with unbelievers. that do not follow the Lord. Yeah, so don't think this teaching is not relevant to you. Yeah. We have to follow this law or we will suffer in the hand of the devil. Yeah, and if you are here, you are not married yet. Be careful and be sure that the person approaching you or the person you feel like you should marry, be sure. I mean, the person approaching you for marriage or the person you feel you should marry, be sure that they are in Christ Jesus. Yeah. I'm aware that there are people in the church today who are not even, who are not born again. They go to church. They attend church meetings, church programs. But they are unbelievers. They are not saved. They are not born again. Yeah, so don't just say that he goes to church or she goes to church. He prays a lot. She prays a lot. I think that person is good. It's good for me, for marriage. Be careful. Because there are people who go to praise the Lord, but they are not Christians. They are not born again. Yeah, they're just one of those multitudes and crowds that were following Jesus, but were not disciples of Jesus. Yeah, so we have people like that inside the church. They only come to the church for some personal agendas. They have how should I put it? They have a selfish reason for coming to church. They are not ready to surrender their lives to Jesus. Yeah, so they are probably in the church just to receive miracle and then get away. Yeah, so they are not really after the Lord. Their hearts, the Lord. Yeah, their heart is after carnal things. What? Yeah, so they go to church hoping that Jesus will give them what they want. And once they get what they want, they say bye bye to Jesus. Yeah, so we have people like that inside the church. So don't be deceived to think they are okay for marriage. Don't be deceived to think they are good for you to marry. Yeah, so you must be very careful and very sensitive as a Christian. Now, let us look at another scripture. Joshua 23. Joshua chapter 23. Verse 12 to 13. hells. If ye do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnants of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until ye perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. Yeah, so that is another warning. Another warning to not marry unbelievers. Yeah, in fact, in this place, the man of God speaking there, Joshua, was telling them that they will become slaves and losers. Yeah. Slaves and losers. If they go into marriage with the same people God drove away from the land, they are now dwelling. Yeah. He was saying here that God will turn the table around. So which means that instead of those people becoming their slaves, they will now become their slaves. Yeah. Let me read it again. Yeah, it says those people will become snares and traps unto them. They will become thorns in their eyes until they perish from the good land which God has given to them. They will lose the victory they once had. They will lose the land that belongs to them. The moment they begin to go into marriage. Yeah, we have seen Christians who went to marry unbelievers. And they lost everything. They lost their salvation. Their entire life became miserable. Yeah, they lost their calling. Some of them call of God on their lives. They couldn't even fulfill that calling. Yeah, in fact, some they ended up worshiping the gods and idols. The unbeliever they married was worshiping. Deceived by thinking I'm going to preach to him, I'm going to preach to her, she will repent, I'm surrender to Jesus. Yeah, so I can marry him, I can marry her, I'll just preach to him, preach to her, then he or she will become a Christian. that is very dangerous. Let the person be genuinely converted to Christianity first before you go into marriage with that person. I pray that the Lord will give you all understanding. Yeah, so it is dangerous to risk your life, your salvation, your destiny, your calling, and by going into marriage with unbeliever. And I'm repeating it again, don't give your children to marry unbelievers, to marry people who are not genuinely saved, people who are not genuinely born again. Yeah, even if your child claims to love the person and tells you, I love him, I love her, and I want to marry him, I want allow such marriage as a parent. Don't agree because it's dangerous. Very dangerous. Let us look at 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1 to 8. 1 Kings 11, verse 1 to 8. Loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go in to them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love, and he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. Yeah, can you see that? His wives turned away his heart from serving God. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, the abomination of the children of Hammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. You can see the word of God came to pass eventually. Yeah, Solomon, who claimed to be a wise man according to the scriptures, yeah, God gave him great wisdom, but with all his wisdom, he fell Because he thinks he can be wiser than God, who gave the law, the instruction, the warning. Yeah, so let us not think we can be wiser than the word of God, wiser than the commandments of God. Some people, they trust in their feelings and emotions than they trust in the word of God. They obey their feelings and emotions and desires and cravings than they obey the word of God. Yeah, remember that where I read said Solomon cleave unto those women in love, in quote, in love. That is, he was in love with them. He was in love with strange women when the word of God forbid that. He chose to follow those women even when the law of God forbids it. I mean, forbids such action. Yeah. How should I say it? Don't play smart with God. Yeah, don't think you are smart and then you think goes against, and then you feel you can do those things and then you can still be in good page with God. Yeah, don't try that. Yeah. Don't try that. Don't play wisdom with God and think you can bend God's instruction to suit your own lust and think you can go away with it like that. No, it doesn't work like that. Yeah, no matter how anointed a man can be or claim to be, no matter how full of wisdom, full of revelations a man can be, if he or she begins to violate God's laws, violate the word of God, let it be known to that man that his downfall has started. Is the moment you begin to go against the word of God, you are doomed. Yeah, no matter the level you might be at the moment, on the level God might have placed you, the moment you begin to go contrary to the laws of God, you are going down. Sooner or later, you will lose everything. Yeah, because Solomon lost everything. Eventually, he lost his relationship with God. He was even building high places, building shrines for those gods. The same person who helped build the house of God is now building house for Satan, for demons, for God. Yeah, so he completely turned away from the Lord. sure that our heart is right with God. I know some people who claim they are filled with the Holy Spirit, they are anointed, they hear from God, God is using them to work miracles. So they feel like they are now greater than the Word of God. Yeah. So they feel like they can do anything. Yeah. Even things the Word of God disapproves. They feel they can just do anything. Yeah, God doesn't love anybody above His word. Yeah, God doesn't love you above His word. If you violate His word, you are gone. And you become His enemy. And you become a prey to the devil. I pray you will be wise in Jesus' name. Now let's look at another scripture. Nehemiah. Nehemiah 13. Verse 26 to 27. Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? Yet among many nations was there no king like him, who was beloved of his God, and God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, even him did outlandish women cause to sin. Shall we then hearken unto you to do all this great evil, to transgress against our God in marrying strange wives? Yeah, so these verses also confirm what we have been discussing. Let us look at 1 Corinthians 7. 1 Corinthians 7. Verse 12 to 16. 1 Corinthians 7. 12 to 16. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which hath an husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. He is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife. Now, this instruction is for those who are already married before they became Christians. Yeah, those who are already married. I mean, they were unbelievers. Both the husband and the wife were unbelievers before they became, I mean, before one of them become born again or become a Christian. Yeah, so here Apostle Paul was saying that in this case, where both of them have been married before one of them saw the light and embraced the gospel, believed the gospel, and become a child of God. Yeah, Apostle was saying that if the other partner is pleased staying with that person, he or she should not leave the marriage. Yeah, because God is able to save the soul of the partner through the one that is born again, whether the husband or the wife. Yeah, and vice versa. So there are cases where people are already married before they know Jesus. So that doesn't mean they should leave the marriage. Yeah. But if the other partner is not pleased with the husband or wife, the person can leave. It called us to peace. Yeah, instead of you letting your husband turn your heart away from God, it is better to leave the marriage. Yeah, that is what this scripture is saying. So it's all about God. Because some people, they have misinterpreted this scripture. They have misinterpreted this scripture and they are using it out of context. About God. Yeah, that is all about relationship with God. So if one person in the marriage is now being a problem to the other partner's relationship with God, the other partner can leave, yeah, to secure his or her relationship with God. Yeah, so if the husband or the wife is no longer pleased with the religion of the partner, they can separate according to the scripture. Now, some people have used this to legalize divorce. Yeah, this passage is not talking about divorce. Yeah, but it's talking about separation to legalize divorce. So they will say, my partner is an unbeliever, so and is affecting my relationship with God. The partner are gonna marry another person. No, this is not about marrying another person. Yeah. So study that passage very well. It's about ensuring that you secure your relationship with God, that you secure your salvation. That is what it's all about. Yeah, so it says if the unbelieving spouse is pleased with the way you are doing I don't think Christianity is a religion, with the way you are doing your fellowship with God, your service to God, if the unbelieving spouse is okay with it, yeah, then there's no problem. Is now becoming a problem to your walk with God and to your service to God, then there can be separation on that ground. And that separation doesn't imply that you should go and marry another person. Yeah. I hope you're getting it, because some people have really missing that passage. Yeah. I've seen some women who have been caged by their marriages. Yeah. And they will say, I have to do what my husband wants. Yeah, I know God wants me to do this. I know God wants me to serve him. I know God wants me to do mission for him, but my husband does not allow those things, so there's nothing I can do since my husband does not allow. That is dangerous. Yeah, displease God please your spouse is dangerous. Dangerous to your soul. Yeah, very dangerous to your soul. Yeah, so you must displease your spouse to please your God. Yeah, because some churches now, they have turned marriage into an idol. They have exalted marriage above God. Yeah, if you look at some teachings, people, some teachings, some churches are doing on marriage. You will see a lot of errors there. Yeah. You will see how they are exalting marriage above the standard of God, above the will of God, above the laws of God, the word of God. And they think they will make heaven like that. They are trying to save their marriage and lose their salvation. Is that not foolishness? You want to save your marriage and in the process lose your salvation. Which one is more important? Is your salvation not more important than marriage? Yeah, so should we lose salvation because we want to save marriage? That's foolishness. Yeah, people are really being deceived. Yeah, except if you have prayed and God told you, continue in the marriage. I will touch the heart of your spouse. I will save his or her soul. Continue to endure the marriage. Except God is telling you that. But when you discover that the marriage has become a problem with your relationship with God, you have to be ready to come out of it. In fact, you have to pray that God separates you from that marriage. Yeah, because your relationship with God is far more important than marriage. Yeah, marriage must surrender, must submit to your relationship with God. Now, where people get it twisted is that they bring carnality into this thing, into this passage of the scripture. So now people are hiding on the fact that this marriage is a threat to my relationship with God, my commitment to God. So I'm leaving. Now after they leave, let's say they leave this month. In the next 3 months, they're already looking for somebody else to marry. Then that means the issue was never their relationship with God. Yeah, something else made them to leave, not relationship with God. Yeah, because in this context, Apostle Paul was focusing on, if you really read this passage very well, he was focusing on a lot of things you should be willing to give up to help your relationship with God get stronger. So which means that if you are leaving the marriage, it means you are not marrying again. That's what it means. If you are leaving a marriage because it's a problem to your relationship with God, it means you are going to remain unmarried. That is what it means. Yeah, because being unmarried will help your relationship with God even more and help you to fulfill your calling much more. Yeah, I don't know if you are getting the point. So the point is not this person is not allowing me to serve God, so let me leave and look for another person. No, that's not the point. The point is that leaving means you now want to be with the Lord and you don't want anything about marriage again. Yeah. That is what that scripture means. So it's not suggesting divorce. Yeah. It's not suggesting divorce. And then it's not that you just live like that. You have to really pray. If the Lord wants you to live, yeah, especially when the marriage is now a limitation to doing what the word of God commands. Like when your husband or your wife is now saying you must do this thing, and then you saw in the scripture that the scripture clearly says that this is a sin, and then your spouse is saying you have to do, I don't care what the scripture says, even though this is a sin, you have to do it. And then every day it's war in the house. You have to do this thing. And then you tell the man or the woman, this thing is wrong according to the scripture. I don't care about your scripture. You have to do this thing that I want. Yeah, and then they think such scenario keep happening. Yeah. Marriage. Because it is better to please God than to yeah. So that is what I really want you to get right. Yeah, but as I said, you would have prayed, because leaving actually means that you are not marrying again. Yeah. So even before you leave, yeah, and God and get instruction and direction from God. Yeah, because some now, especially when the problem is not that that strong, go tell the other partner to still for the spouse. Yeah, but when the issue is so strong that it's now like there's no way to endure it anymore, either you stay there and sin against God, I mean you stay in the marriage and sin against God, yeah, or you leave. It is very good to leave such marriages. Yeah, so that now this is one of the reasons why people should not rush into marriage. Yeah, this is one of the reasons why to be sure that the person they are marrying is really a real child of God, someone that God can control. So you have to God. Yeah, because if the person starts going wrong, you will go and talk to God. And God will know how to control that person and tell the person, you don't behave like this. You don't deal with your spouse like this. You don't treat your husband like this or treat your wife like this. Yeah. And then once God rebuke the partner will adjust his or her ways. Yeah, but if you go and marry someone that is totally under devil's control, then that would be a disaster. Yeah, so it is better to not marry at all than to end in a wrong marriage. Yeah, it is better not to marry at all. Yeah, but some people, when you tell them that they should not rush into marriage, they feel like Are you not married? You are telling us not to rush into marriage. You don't want something good for my life. The troubles that comes with marriage, especially when it is a wrong marriage. Marry at all than to end in a wrong marriage. So I pray that God will give you wisdom concerning these matters. In Jesus' name. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians. The same 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Now we are looking at verse 39. First Corinthians 7:39. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to a woman in the Lord. Now, those people that were using for this same chapter, those people that were using from verse 12 to 16 to support divorce, they should go to this verse 39, because it is still the same chapter. In 1 Corinthians 7. Yeah. Yeah. So, before they start using those verses to they need to really read verse 39. And of course, also read verse 40. First Corinthians. It says, the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will. Only, but she is happier if she so abide after my judgment. And I think also that I have the Spirit of God. So Apostle Paul was even saying that she will be more happy if she decides to not marry anymore like that. Yeah, to remain unmarried like that. Yeah, so when it comes to walking with God, staying unmarried is very beneficial than being married. Yeah. You know, a lot of teachings I have had in the church on marriage. And at a point, I was deceived by some of those teachings. Yeah. And some of the teachings says, you need marriage before you go into ministry. You need to get married before God can use you mightily. You need to be married before God can use you for great things, send you into different countries to serve Him, to do great things for Him. Yeah, and those times I was believing those teachings. Yeah, to the point that I almost end up in a wrong marriage. It was later I realized that that was an error, that was not true. Yeah, because there are many people in the scripture were never married, and they did great things for God. They did great things. Many of the apostles, even some of the pastors and elders, that the apostles, some of them never married. Yeah. So it was later and I realized that staying unmarried is the best. God, the best. To know God. Yeah. But because we have been brainwashed in the present, yeah, in the church that Apostle Paul, I mean, in the church during the time of Apostle Paul, it was not an issue at all. It was a normal thing for Christians to just decide, brothers and sisters to just decide that they are not getting married. It was a normal thing. But now, because we have been brainwashed by the error, it is now like a strange thing. Yeah. It's now a strange thing if you say you don't want to marry. They feel like, are you not? Yeah. So it's one of the problems in placed so much importance and value on marriage that we have placed on the kingdom of God. In fact, we have exalted marriage above the kingdom of God. Yeah. So I think people should stay unmarried except God tells them otherwise, God lead them otherwise. Yeah, I think Christians should really choose to go unmarried, to stay unmarried, except the Spirit of God leads them or otherwise. So when God opened my eyes and I saw that, I make a determination that I'm not going to teach that error. Yeah, of course, in this same passage, Apostle Paul was not stopping anyone that wants to marry from marrying. Yeah, so I'm not going to stop anyone that want to marry from getting married, but I must let them know that staying unmarried is better to your spiritual walk with God than marrying. Yeah, and anyone that wants to be sincere with themselves, we agree that it is true. Yeah, anyone that is married today, go and ask them. Go ask them. Go ask them the question and ask them that, is staying or married now walk with God than stay. Any one of them that is sincere, they will tell you that when they were married, they were more on fire for God. Yeah, it takes more sacrifice, selflessness, and discipline to still maintain a very close walk with God. You need to take a lot of sacrifices, discipline, selflessness. Yeah. Which you won't need much of that if you are married. Give much of that, you will get more more glory in your walk with God. Yeah. So that is why if you keep all of Apostle Paul's teaching on marriage, you will see that he prefers people staying unmarried because he knows the benefits. Yeah. To be unmarried. Yeah. So let us get these things right, and we will not have problem both now and in the future. Yeah, so take time to meditate on these things I have said, especially for those of you who really are praying for a breakthrough in your marital life, or for those of you who are still considering, should I stay unmarried or not. Take time to listen to this teaching again, meditate on it, and really pray seriously so that God can lead you and guide you well in Jesus' name. So I'm going to stop here. If you have questions, you can ask on the Telegram platform. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for you are so faithful. Thank you for showing us from your scriptures how getting married to the unbelieving and the worldly is a disaster to our faith and walk with you. Thank you, Lord, for everything you have taught your people. Ever in Jesus' name. I ask, O Lord, for as many here who need to get it right on this, O Lord, in your mercy, intervene in their marital life and help them to never miss concerning their marital life in Jesus' name. I pray for you that you will not hand over your children to go into marriage with unbelievers. In Jesus' name, the wisdom to guide your children correctly in this aspect of marriage. May the Lord give you that wisdom. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen.